KX93.5 FM, Laguna Beach's only FM radio station and community-supported, member-supported. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. My name is Johnny, and before we get to our interview with Dave Wakeling from the English Beat, just a quick public service announcement. We got an email from the city of Laguna Beach that the Laguna Canyon entrance that you do to get in here is backed up due to summer-like conditions. That's because it's a gorgeous day outside and everybody's coming inland to hit our gorgeous beaches. But if you are listening in, thanks for joining us. My name is Johnny. I got Dave Wakeling here from the English Beat. Say hello, Dave.
Hi, Johnny.
Nice to have you here. We also have the girls from my show normally. Don Damari is also with us. And we have the lovely Donnie B. Dave, whoops, sorry. We had to do let's do a quick mic check. Dave, are you on?
Checking. 1, 2, 1, 2,
okay.
1, 2.
Dave's good. Don?
Checking. 1, 2, 1, 2.
And you're good.
Check and 1, 2.
Okay, good deal. All right.
First hurdle over then.
So Dave, you guys have played at Mozambique before, and you're playing tonight.
Yep.
Correct?
Played a few times. It's a favorite. We like it here.
Okay. And I can't remember the last time I saw you guys. I think it was over a year ago. Is that correct?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it was over a year the last time I saw you guys.
I hope it hasn't been that long. But
do you like coming down here to Laguna Beach?
I do. I used to live here. I used to live in Laguna Niguel and Dana Point. Lived on Sea Shadows in Laguna Niguel. I lived on Golden Lantern in Dana Point for a few years. We came here to breed, in fact.
Ah.
Yep. We were living in Los Angeles, and it looked like where we were living didn't look like a safe place to walk around with a stroller, so drove up and down the coast, and I'm sure you'll be pleased to hear this area was chosen as Wakeling breeding ground.
great. Well, we're happy to have you back. It's going to be a good show tonight. Don Damari, you have a couple of questions you wanted to ask him.
Yeah, actually, I have some questions, and Donnie B has a few as well. It's an honor for you to be here. One of my favorite tracks from you guys, Mirror in the Bathroom. I mean, you guys were one of my favorite bands in high school. When the album came out, I was a little younger, but a few years later in high school, I mean, you're one of the most popular bands with my friends and I. So maybe you can just describe some of the recording sessions for Mirror in the Bathroom and the first album in general.
The song's not about what a lot of people thought it might have been about. It was actually about the mirror in the bathroom, having a shave in the morning. I worked on a construction site at the time, and I'd had perhaps a half a glass of Guinness too much that night before, and I hadn't hung my clothes up to dry. The clothes were all wet on the bathroom floor, and I'm looking in the mirror, having a shave, my head's pounding. I was like, we don't have to do this, Dave. And I looked, you could see the catch on the door. I was like, look, the door's locked, mate. It's just you and me here. We don't have to do this. But of course we did, because there was Guinness to be bought that evening, for example.
Right.
You know, all sorts of things you needed money for. So we got on the motorbike and went to work, and driving on the bike thinking, I was like, man, door is locked. And I thought it was great, apart from, I was like, you can't have a song called Mirror in the Bathroom. That's stupid.
That's perfect.
Well, it could have been worse. I mean, there's a lot of other things in the bathroom you could have done a song about.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's
yeah.
go there.
Well, it ended up, you know, by the time we got to America, people all thought it meant something else. It wasn't the mirror on
right.
the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that's because it was the 80s. So.
That's right. Yeah. Everything was stainless steel and shining, you know, and... So it was good. That isn't what the song was about. It was about narcissism,
mm-hmm.
really,
exactly.
you know, about just getting caught up in yourself mm-hmm. to the point where you can end up feeling lonely because other people feel such a distance away. And the more wrapped up in yourself you get, the further away they appear, you know. So
absolutely.
That's what it was about, I suppose. The recording sessions that you asked about, I have absolutely no recollection.
<That's fine. laughs>
So it must have gone great.
It must have been good. General Public also was a favorite of mine. Any memories you have just of you and Mikey Rogers?
We were very lucky. We got to work with Mick Jones from The Clash just as he was starting Big Audio Dynamite, and get a chance to start another group, General Public, and then to sit in the studio and watch your most favorite guitar player at the mm-hmm. time jamming out over your songs. That was probably one of the best moments, I think, in pop. You have to pinch yourself at times. It's like, is this happening? Right. Hi, Mick. Yeah, okay. Try that again.
That's awesome.
Kind of like us right now.
Yeah.
Hello. No, I had a question about who's the girl on the cover of I Just Can't Stop It? Is that just a character you made up, or is that...
The Beat Girl. She was meant to be a dance partner and a sort of behavior modifier for the Two-Tone Man, because the early Two-Tone shows, it was like a big punch-up, really. And they would all complain about it, specials, selector, all of that. And I'd say, well, I don't know why you're having trouble. You know, 500 skinheads in a room with a load of beer. And you're getting some sort of like violence toward the end of the night. You've obviously never been to a football match, have you? So I remembered from skinhead dances that if skinhead girls were there, the guys would like put on their more expensive Crombie coats, they wouldn't have their battle dress Levi's on, and they'd be so busy peacocking and trying to impress the girls that they'd stop nutting each other on the bridge of the nose, you know.
Really, they want to impress the skinhead girls?
Yes, yeah. Yes, because I mean, you know, they could either love you to death or break your neck, you know. It was quite a challenge as a teenager, a skinhead girl was.
Fun.
Yeah, and so they'd, we got a girl as our logo. And loads of girls started coming to the shows, and the skinhead boys started behaving themselves and showing off to them instead of each other. And we ended up being the most peaceful of the Two-Tone shows. How odd, you might say, that the logo of a woman made the whole thing more peaceful.
Right.
That's got to be a first.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, why don't we take a quick break? We'll play one of your songs here. We just talked about Mirror in the Bathroom, so I'm going to play that for everybody right now.
Cool, bro.
And then we will resume with some more questions and have a lot more fun while we're here for the day with Dave Wakeling from English Beat here, playing tonight at Mozambique right here in Laguna Beach. I'm Johnny on KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. KX 93.5 FM right here in Laguna Beach. We are member supported and community radio. guess what? We've got Dave Wakeling with us in the studio from English Beat, and he's hanging out with us this afternoon because the band is playing in Mozambique right here in Laguna Beach tonight. My name is Johnny, along with Donnie B and Don Damari.
Hi. All right. Well, Dave, you began playing again as the English Beat in the early 2000s, which is awesome. What made you decide to, I'm going to just pick this up and do it again? And this is in the U.S., right?
I took a break. I worked for Greenpeace for about 5 years.
That's right.
And I really enjoyed it. And I was sort of like their man in Hollywood and try and liaise between entertainment industry and environmental issues. Try and find out, rather than just gathering up film stars, but try and find out what they were actually interested in and put them together with campaigners so they could be really effective spokespeople. And we were all told, you've got to come up with an idea for global warming, atmosphere and energy, climate change. I suppose it was 94 or something like this. It was very hard for Greenpeace and organisations to get any press on it. It was sort of like, the information's not in yet. Too early to tell. And so we had this idea to make a solar-powered album.
Oh, cool.
And we built a mobile solar generator and recorded a load of bands on tour, made it as easy as possible for them. We'd just arrive in the morning. They didn't even realise anything was particularly different about the show. And then we gave them the tapes and they chose a song. It was all recorded, mixed and mastered by solar power.
That's
we called
awesome.
It Alt NRG, Alternative Energy. And that took up a good couple of years. And then there was a tour project. I don't know if you've been to shows like at Irvine Meadows, as it was. You'd see a Greenpeace table there. Well, Elvis Costello agreed to do one with us very nicely. And I was showing off to all my friends in the office in LA that I used to know him, yes, me and Declan, way back, And we had known each other and we liked each other's lyrics. So they all wanted to meet him. I was like, yeah, no problem, I'll take you back. We went backstage at Irvo Meadows, me and about 16 Greenpeacers, half of them playing hacky sack. Hacky sacking for the planet. And we all gathered around and there he was and I was like, ha ha, see, I do know him. And he said, hello, he said, I could bang yours and Jerry Dammer's heads together. I'm like, sorry, what? No, earth swallow me. And he said, no, he said, all this Greenpeace stuff and Jerry Dammer's anti-apartheid stuff, that's all well and good, but your place is on the stage, Wakeling, and you know it. Oh, my friends giggled. Elvis Costello just told off Dave. And they teased me for about a week at the office. I was like, oh God, I'm never going to say I know anybody else again. That was too embarrassing. And then the phone rang and somebody said, would you like to reform General Public and would you like to do a song for a movie called Threesome? And they actually wanted Steeler's Wheel Stuck in the Middle with You, which I thought was a bit obvious for something called Threesome. So we instead did I'll Take You There, Staple Singers, and did it in a reggae sort of vibe. Mm-hmm. Then it went to number one on the Billboard dance charts and I was able to send a message to Mr. McManus. Oh, sorry, I'm back on stage now. Sorry about that. And I haven't dared get off since, really. That was my reintroduction to it.
Okay, I have a question. In 1983, Dick Clark asked you on American Bandstand about one of your strangest experiences on the road, and he mentioned some frogs. Do you remember that?
I completely made it up. Well, no, it was just a load of frogs crossing the road in Louisiana, as far as I remember. It was the first time we'd ever seen anything like that. Because
do you have any current crazy experiences being on the road? Any
stories? No, it's all past that. Now I'm even past reminiscing about the crazy times.
You've seen it all, been there, done that.
Oddly enough, now most of the energy is focused on the stage.
Right.
Like it used to be in the early days that the concert was like this irritating noise at the night, but it only lasted for a couple of hours and then you were back on the party. Didn't last that long. But now the whole of the 24 hours is geared towards how am I gonna do the best show I possibly can.
Right.
And and weird, it, you know, doing the obvious, it actually is more satisfying and you do perform better.
I know also you used to play at venues where you could dance only, but I know that recently you also played at the Gibson. How is it? How do you select your venues now? Do you?
I like it so there's a mix of dancing. I like there to be the opportunity to dance at the front, whether there's chairs or not. After 30 years of demanding only dance venues, you know, and playing all sorts of games and throwing all sorts of fits if I got there and there was chairs. One time a college show in the 80s and the chairs were starting to move and people were standing on them and they were loose chairs that they'd brought into a gymnasium. And I was like, I can't watch this anymore. So I ran to the side of the stage as though somebody'd called me over and then ran back as though I'd got a really important message. And I said, please, please, security, I've just had a word. Can everybody please grab the chairs and now move them to either side of the hall, please? Very gently and quietly, somebody's going to get hurt in a minute. Please move those chairs. And they did it. And I was like, I can't put the chairs back now, can you?
No, you
can. But awesome. Now I'm afraid some of our fans will see us at the end of the show and go, that was fantastic, Dave, but you know what? I can't stand up for 4 hours anymore. I want to sit down and I want to have a decent cocktail. I'll dance to whichever of your songs are my favourites. And if there's one that I don't like or it's a bit fast, I want to sit down, all right. So we have to cater for the growing changes and decades.
Mm-hmm. I have another question for you. I read somewhere, I think it was a blog of some kind or maybe someone who had interviewed you about you doing some possible EPs or other recordings.
That would have been my favourite thing to do. We just spent a long time promoting the English Beat box set, mm-hmm. which went down great and got smashing reviews. Very proud of it. And it's nice now to have all the material, all the stuff in one box, all the oldies and the live radio sessions that all we'd got were, you know, really distorted cassette versions by this stage. So it's nice to have all that and it's nice to have it done. And now the area's clear for the new songs. And I've got about 30 new songs.
Wow.
None of them have finished. I have the drums and the vocals, the arrangements and my parts. And now we're going to just decide, well, which way would we go? You could have four reggae songs, four ballads or four fast punk ska songs that sound like the first Beat record. But I would like to bring out four track EPs with perhaps like a dub mix and a live version or something. I've always liked EPs when I was a kid, mm-hmm. and I think they would be a great way to bring out new material, selling at gigs, you know.
Yeah, I agree. That would be great.
That'd be awesome.
Okay, well, you're listening to Dave Wakeling of English Beat here at KX93.5, member supported. You've been listening to Don DeMari and Donnie B. My name's Johnny. We're going to play another song and come back with a couple more quick questions for you.
Yes, sir.
Hope everybody's out there enjoying the sunshine today. And thanks for keeping it here at member supported KX93.5 FM.
Too nice to talk to. Too nice to talk.
KX93.5 FM, right here in Laguna Beach. We are member-supported community radio. My name is Johnny, along with the double Ds, Don Damari and Donnie B, and Dave Wakeling. Actually, I guess we have three.
Triple Ds.
Triple Ds.
It's a bust.
Yeah, Dave Wakeling's here from English Beat. They are playing tonight at Mozambique, right here in Laguna Beach. I will be there. Don will be there. Dave will be there, obviously. And it's going to be a lot of fun tonight. You know what? I was going to ask you, do you like the intimate atmospheres of a small club like Mozambique, or do you prefer the big venue?
You know, I like doing both, but there's a real charm to somewhere like Mozambique. You can look right into their eyes, and you're singing along with each other. There's no way to fudge it. You know, you can't be pretending or be acting out or anything like that, because they're right there. So it forces you to be real, which is a great fun. But there's different skills. How do you translate a song over to a big crowd and make them feel like they're in a small room? So there's stuff to be learned at either of them, and I prefer playing a whole variety of it. If you play all amphitheatres and in gymnasium style things, it just sounds like you're playing in an echo machine most of the time.
Absolutely.
You know?
But Mozambique is great.
It's really great.
People like seeing shows there because they can get up close and see the band and see the people that they've listened to for years.
And Tony's done a brilliant job. I mean, he's managed to contain the sound in there so that you can get a really great sound in. I mean, it's a tiny little stage. We're like rubbing shoulders, you know. But it sounds like, whoa, how do they do that?
Also, you know, in the 90s, I remember there was a third wave of ska. I guess that was the third wave in the 90s. And that's when, I think I was graduating from college. And there was bands like No Doubt and Save Ferris that were influenced by you, of course. Do you see any signs of a future ska resurgence?
See one when we're on the road, because quite often the opening bands are, you know, teenage or early 20s ska bands. And it's, you know, taking another step on as well. You see little bits of hip hop mixing into it, little bits of R&B, because when we first arrived in America for our first tour in 1980s, we were shocked that there was black radio and white radio. There was no money in England, so we had one radio station, that was it. You got Diana Ross, the Rolling Stones, the lot. There's only the one station. And I thought that was odd. People on the very first tour told me that somebody had covered our song, Tears of a Clown, but it was much slower. You couldn't dance to it. And it was Smokey Robinson. That's They'd funny. Never heard it, you know. Nowadays, that's, especially with internet and stations like this, loads of people are hearing all types of music. Mm-hmm. It's not so compartmentalised. And so now I noticed in the new ska bands, they're dragging that in, because it's meant to be a springboard, not a straitjacket. Mm-hmm. Gives you a nice up full beat, and you can fit in what's going on in your life, you know. And now it's different than it was from what No Doubt was seeing, different from what the Beat was seeing, and different from what, you know, Prince Buster and the original Jamaican artists of ska were seeing in the 60s. Mm-hmm.
And I had one other question about, you know, Ranking Roger. He tours with the Beat in the UK.
He does indeed.
Correct?
They're my best cover band. But luckily, I'm not the resentful type.
So, do you think you guys will ever collaborate or tour again?
I keep asking him.
I know, probably asked
him. I keep asking. Now, I got some good words back just recently, because I'd sort of more or less give up. You know, it's like keep asking. It seems like it's going to happen. Doesn't happen. So I was like, oh, I give up. You know, it's a bit like offering olive branches and getting shillelaghs back. And then I got a message from him. Oh, it's not right. Never say never. That's my motto. You know, we've always written hits when we've got together, so I wouldn't write anything off. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I didn't dare ask. We just started again. I think it would be good.
Yeah.
I don't think we'd have to do it for that long, but it would be nice to do a tour and visit everybody who'd like to see it, to have me and him sing together.
Yeah.
We've done it a couple of times in the last 10 years, and we remembered all of our own and each other's harmonies. We were perfectly on. I even remembered some stupid little dance moves where our knee would go up at the same time. Hadn't done it in years, but it was all still there. And we both recognised that and thought it was fun. Business gets in the way of it a lot, and now that there's two bands going, you know, which band would get the gig that night?
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of resistance from the people who work around me and Roger, because they don't want to be one of the ones who's out of work that tour. But I think it would be good. I'd like it to happen. And if anybody, I know Roger's got some friends here in Laguna, so if they're listening in, tell him I'm up for it.
All right. Well, that was great. That's all from me, unless anybody else has anything.
Any other questions for you, Donnie B?
Well, I mean, more comments. I mean, it's just great to see you here. I can't believe I'm here. I mean, I listened to you since, like, 1985.
Right.
And you were the only band. My parents wouldn't yell at me and say, turn that off, you know.
Oh, great.
They
That's
actually,
nice.
My parents loved you. My mom would clean the house to your music. My dad would bop his head all silly. I mean, you were the only band that was really
That's great.
Allowed.
So we were the ones who were like, now they're all right, but the other ones, that's
right.
rubbish.
Shut that off.
Turn it off.
Yeah. So everybody I know loves you. I've never heard anybody ever say they don't like the English beat.
Oh, great.
Which
well,
is pretty cool.
Tell everybody come down to Mozambique. We'll tear it up tonight.
Oh, yeah.
It's
we
sold
were really
out
excited.
Though, right?
Last Sunday we were there for dinner and we saw the banner that they were just putting up for this week. And Donnie's like, oh, my gosh.
I have to see the English beat. I have to see it. I'm like, I'll break in if I have to.
And on a gorgeous day like today as well, everybody's going to be really blissed out, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure.
So much fun.
Really
we'll be
excited.
Dancing right in front.
Yep,
oh, yeah.
we'll be there. And if you're on the beach now, make your plans to get off the beach later and maybe come down to Mozambique tonight and see the English beat. We've been really happy to have Dave Wakeling come in today and talk to us. Don Damari's here, Donnie B. I'm Johnny, and we're going to get back to the music and let everybody enjoy the rest of the day. You've been listening to community-supported, member-supported KX93.5 FM with Dave Wakeling of The English Beat.
Thanks. My member supports this.
Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Coming in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I like to sneer as a sail past your bus stop.